All right, we're going to continue in our Encounters with Jesus series. In this series, we're just looking into the Gospels and looking at different people that had encounters with Jesus. And, you know, I always, you know, think about the Bible and think, what would it be like, you know, to be in the crowd and get to encounter Jesus? You know, have one of those moments to where it's like you and Jesus face to face. I think that would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? And so that's what we're looking at in this series, is that these people that had these encounters with Jesus. And the tagline we're using in this is, an encounter with Jesus can change your life. And just because you have an encounter with Jesus doesn't mean that your life is going to change. It's your response to that encounter that's important. Okay? And so, you know, we've seen people come in, they've come in, and they prayed a prayer, and then they go on their way, and nothing changes in their life. And then we've had people come in and give their lives to God, and I mean, it's like almost instantly you see a light come on the inside of them. They're excited about Jesus. You know, they're studying their Bible, and you see as they're growing and maturing, you know, this fruit of the Spirit being produced out of their lives. And that's what we want to see. That's what we want. You know, he was talking about us being a life-giving church, and that's what life-giving is that your life is producing life. And we do that as we live out our lives for Christ and in His presence and in His Word and worshiping Him, that God produces life out of our death that we've produced in our life. And so, first week we looked at Zacchaeus versus the rich young man. They both had an encounter with Jesus. And we see that Zacchaeus, his life changed drastically. He went from a thief to a generous giver almost immediately. Then we see the rich young man had the exact same encounter with Jesus, but he walked away sad because money ruled his life. And so he chose money over God. Last week, as we did our baptisms, we talked about John the Baptist. And the big thing that we pulled out of his life is that he was already living for God. I mean, he was the prophet that went ahead of the Messiah and preaching in the wilderness. And, you know, the Messiah is coming. You know, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so he was living in his purpose. And he had an encounter with Jesus. With his encounter with Jesus, he had a realization that now life is about Jesus and not about me. Because up to that point, he was the main event. He was the one that everybody came to see. And when Messiah came on the scene, he knew it was his time to step back. See, in our lives, we need to realize when it's time to step back and let Jesus be the Lord of our life, to let Jesus take the lead in our life. The phrase that he used is that God must increase and I must decrease. And that's what we need to do in our lives, is allow God to increase in our lives and allow our selfishness to decrease and live our lives for Him. And so today's encounter with Jesus, we're going to go into Mark chapter 5 and see this encounter with Jesus. This is a very interesting encounter because it was not really an accident, but it was kind of one of those happenstances that happened on it. So let's go to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 21. It says, "When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. And then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live.' So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, 'If I can touch his clothes, I will be healed.' Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that the power had gone out of him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, 'Who touched my clothes?' You see the people of crowd against you, the disciples answered. 'And yet you ask, who touched me?' But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And when the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering.'" So here this woman had an encounter with Jesus. And what we see here is that, you know, Jesus, this wasn't a purposeful thing on Jesus' part. He was on his way to do something else. He was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. And this woman, heard that Jesus was coming. She had heard about Jesus, and she heard about the miracles, and she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And so she pressed in there, and she grabbed a hold of his clothes, and she was healed instantly. And so we don't really know a lot about this woman. I tried to do some research on kind of where this happened, and we really don't know much about her. But what we do know is that she's been bleeding for 12 years. That's a long time to be bleeding. And we really don't know. Some scholars think that it was some menstrual bleeding or hemorrhage or something like that going on. And she'd been to doctor after doctor and spent everything that she had, and nothing was working. And so she was at this place of just desperation. Just like, anything, God, you know, I will try anything. Has anybody ever been there just desperation? I will try anything to get healed. I'll try anything to get this problem fixed. I'll try. This is where she was at the, I mean, she was desperate. And so she heard about Jesus. And she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, if I can just get close enough to Jesus, I believe something's going to happen. And it did. But see, here's the thing. She wasn't supposed to be in public. She was not supposed to be there. If you look into the law, and we'll read this in Leviticus chapter 15. Again, I like going to Leviticus for some reason. It's a great read if you ever need to go to sleep. Leviticus chapter 15 says, when a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, this is great stuff right here, let me tell you. She will be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as the days of her period. Any bed that she lies on while her discharge continues will be unclean, as her bed during her monthly period. Anything she sits on will be unclean during her period. Anyone who touches them will be unclean, and they must wash their clothes and bathe in water, and they will be unclean until evening. When she is cleansed from her discharge, she will count off 7 days, and after that she will be ceremonially clean. See, she was not clean according to the Jewish law. She was not supposed to be around people. She was not supposed to be in public. And so she knew that. But yet, she heard about Jesus. She heard what Jesus was doing. And she's like, I don't care. I don't care if I'm ceremonial unclean. I don't care if I'm not supposed to be around people. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to touch his clothes, and I will be healed. See, what was it that healed this woman? It was her faith. Jesus said it himself. It's your faith that has made you whole. And it's interesting that this happened, and Jesus didn't even know what was going on. He had to stop and say, who touched me? Now, I like to imagine things when I'm reading them. And you know, I imagine this scene, like he gets off the boat and there's a crowd waiting for him. And, you know, nowadays this would be like the paparazzi being around taking pictures and everybody wanting to touch him and, you know, and all of this stuff. And so I'm sure that was annoying, you know, after a while, you know, just. And so I'm sure his disciples were like his bodyguards. They're like walking close to him. And so he's trying to get to Jairus' house. And so he's walking along and like people are reaching out and touching him. And, I touched Jesus. I touched Jesus, you know, and so he's walking along, and all of a sudden he stops like, who touched my clothes? And the disciples are like, are you kidding me, Jesus? Everybody is touching your clothes. I mean, what do you mean, who touched me? And so he looked, because he knew something. He felt the power go out of him. And so he wanted to talk to this person. And I could imagine this woman. She's not supposed to be in public. She's supposed to be hidden away somewhere because of her bleeding. And that she pressed in there. She's like, it's like, maybe if I can just touch him and run away, I can get my healing and nobody will know what happened. And I can go and I can wait my 7 days and then I can be ceremonially clean again. And so she was just trying to slip in there and touch his clothes and get out of there. But Jesus stopped the whole train, man. He stopped the parade. It's like, who touched me? And I'm sure she was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. You know what? Because if you think about it, since she touched Jesus, did that make Jesus ceremonial unclean? I don't know, just a thought, but I don't know the answer to that. But it said that anybody who touches someone in this is ceremonial unclean. But anyway, And so she was like, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble now. I've been caught. And so he's like, who touched me? And so she comes and she tells him the truth. She tells him the story. I've been bleeding for 12 years. I've been to all the doctors. I spent all my money. And she's already healed at this point. Like, her body is whole. And she tells him the story, and I love the response. He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Now go in peace and be freed from your suffering. See, her encounter with Jesus changed her life drastically. Could you imagine 12 years of suffering from this one thing, that she cannot be around people? She's just there by herself, suffering alone, and now she is free. Let me tell you something, an encounter with Jesus can change your life. See, this is one of those topics that a lot of people shy away from as far as healing, because, you know, it's one of those tricky things. There's some people say that, you know, that passed away with the apostles, or God doesn't heal anymore. And as I read my Bible, I don't see that. I see that God is still a healing God, that He's still the great physician, that He's the one that made your body and He knows how to fix your body. I believe in the healing power of Jesus Christ. I believe it's still available to us today. So let me ask you this question. What was the difference between her touch and everybody else's touch? Because everybody was trying to touch Him. Everybody was trying to reach in there and have that. See, her encounter with Jesus was very purposeful. She went there with the sole purpose of touching Him so that she could be healed. One commentary said it was a conscious, voluntary, dependent touch of faith that healed her. See, one thing I don't like about when people are like, well, I don't know, you know, I don't know if God heals. I don't, you know, and they start getting wishy-washy when it comes to God healing us. Because, you know, they always ask the question, well, how come everyone doesn't get healed? And that's a tough question to answer. It's a very tricky question. And the answer that I give is, I don't know. I wish there was an exact thing that I could tell you, an exact formula that we could lay out that would bring healing to your life. But the Bible doesn't give us one. And so as we look at this, what made her touch different than the other touches? Because there's a lot of people touching her. I call this the concert touch versus the faith touch. Have you ever been to a concert and those people at the front, they're all going, ah, you know, and they're just trying to reach up and they're like, grab someone's leg. And they come by and the singer comes by and like high fives a few of them. Psh, psh, psh. And they're like, oh, I'm never washing my hand again, you know, and it's just like, oh. See, there's some people that want that kind of touch from Jesus, that feel-good touch. You know, that touch where, you know, I'm in the presence of God and it makes me feel good. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a difference between that kind of touch and that conscious, voluntary, purposeful touch of faith that's reaching out to God, needing to receive something from Him. There is a difference. And this woman came with that kind of faith-filled touch. Like, if I can just touch His clothes, then I will be healed. So how did she get healed? She approached Jesus with faith. It's interesting that in here it says that when she heard about Jesus, the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The reason that we have faith is because we've heard something. We've heard the gospel. You don't come to faith in Jesus Christ without first hearing the good news of the gospel. And that faith enters in by hearing. And when you hear those things, there's something on the inside of you that just kind of connects with it. Because if you're a Christian, that you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, and when you hear that word, there's just something that gets stirred up on the inside of you. And she heard about Jesus. She heard that He was coming, and she went there with faith in that she would be healed. Notice what she said. If I could just touch His clothes, I will be healed. It wasn't, I might be healed. She said, I will be healed. That's the kind of faith that she had. That's the kind of faith that she approached Jesus with. I will be healed. And that's the kind of faith that we need to approach. See, if we don't have God's word in our heart, then we don't know what he's promised us. See, that's why it's so important to get into God's word and get to know him and get to know what he's said about us and the promises that he's given us. See, if you don't know those things, then you can't stand in faith. The reason that you had faith in Jesus to get saved is because you heard and you stood on that faith. And it's the same thing with receiving from God, is that we have to hear God's word, and we got to hear it, and we got to get it into our hearts, and we've got to believe it. Just like salvation, it says what? It says it's with the confession of your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you'll be saved. It's believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. As that's what brought you salvation, and that's what brings life into you. It's getting God's word into your life, and it's believing that and begin to speaking it out into your life. Ah, you're talking about that name it, claim it stuff now. Watch out. No, I'm not. I didn't say that you could claim $1 million and Jesus is going to give it to you. I don't read that in the Bible anywhere. I wish it was in there. Man, I'd be naming that and claiming that, let me tell you something. But it doesn't say that in there. But there are promises in God's word that as we speak God's word over our life, those faith words in our life, that it activates something in faith and that God can act in our lives. Let's take a look at something in Mark chapter 11. This is the story that Jesus is walking along with his disciples and he comes up onto this fig tree. And he looks at it, and he's hungry, and he looks up there, and there's no figs. He's like, ah, and he curses the tree. He says, nobody's ever going to eat from you again, and just walks on. You know, and I'm sure the disciples are like, okay, whatever that was. And so later on, they were coming back by this same tree, and as they went along, they saw that the tree was withered from the roots. I mean, that sucker was dead. I mean, I don't know what lapse that was, but the tree was dead. I mean, it was gone, and they're just like, whoa, hang on a second, Jesus. And so it said, Peter, remember what they said. And he said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered. Verse 22, Mark 11, 22, Jesus replied, says, have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it is yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins as well. Now, you are sitting there thinking, whoa now. You saying I can talk to mountains and they move? Hang on a second. See, here's the thing. With this, it's impossible for us. But with God, all things are possible. Now, I can't go talk to Ramsey Mountain and say, jump in the White River. I mean, I don't think God's going to. But what? He's talking figuratively here to us. What is the mountain in your life? What is that big thing in your life that you're facing? What are the struggles that you're facing in your life? How often do we, like this woman, spend 12 years going to doctors trying to fix it on our own before we go to Jesus? Now, I'm not saying she was wrong for going to doctors. Let me tell you something. If I get sick, I'm going to the doctor. I believe in doctors. I believe that God has gifted doctors with the wisdom and stuff to do that. But you know what? I pray before I go. I believe God as I go to the doctor. But how many times do we try to fix our problems on our own before we go to Jesus? I know I do this all the time. I think, you know, I don't consciously think, okay, I'm going to take care of this. But we naturally just start doing things to take care of things on our own. Then later, after we failed a few times, like, maybe I should pray about this. Duh. Right? But what he's saying in here is that this faith that we can have, this faith in his word that we can have, it's powerful. See, for me, it's impossible to heal anybody. But with God, all things are possible. See, we need to learn to put aside our natural thinking sometimes. There's no way that this could happen. There's no way that this situation can change. There's no way that my marriage can be restored. There's no way that my kids are going to come back to Christ. There's no way. You're not speaking faith. I believe that we need to be speaking God's word over our life. The Bible tells me that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That needs to be a promise that you're speaking over your kids, especially if you've had one that's walked away from God or that's away from Christ. Speak that over your kids, especially if you brought them up in church and you've taught them these things. I believe that's a promise that we can stand on. You speak to that mountain. Speak God's word to your problems. Believe those things. And the Bible says those things that we ask, they will come to pass. So why do some people get healed and some don't? I know some of you are still there. That's still in the back of your mind. I completely understand that. There's times that I've prayed for healing and I didn't receive it. There's times that I prayed for healing and I did receive it. What was the difference? I really don't know. There's lots of factors that can go into this. Sometimes it's the condition of your heart. Maybe there's a sin in your life. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe, you know, sometimes it's, man, there's lots of things that we could talk about. But like I said, there's no exact formula that we could do that brings things about in our life. All I know is that I need to trust in God and speak His word on my life, and I'm going to put that in the hands of God and let Him handle it. And see, we're not responsible for the result. See, there's things that's happening outside of us that we don't understand. There's situations that are going on. There's things that's why we need to pray, God, Your will be done in this situation. Because what I think should be the result of the situation isn't what God thinks needs to be the result of the situation. All right? And so sometimes people receive healing in their bodies while they're here on earth. Sometimes they receive their healing when they go to heaven. We all have loved ones that have suffered in their body and they died and they're in heaven now and they're not suffering anymore. That we can celebrate in the fact that they're no longer suffering with that illness anymore. They're no longer suffering with those things anymore. But the Bible does give us a few clues of things that we need to check in our hearts as we pray. As we look right here in Matthew 11:25, it says, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. That's a tough scripture. Well, the Bible says all we have to do is ask for forgiveness and He'll forgive us. Yeah, but you need to be walking in forgiveness too. Sometimes our faith is hindered because of our own unforgiveness. Because we're unwilling to let something go. Sometimes it's our own stuff that holds the blessings of God in our life back. Because we're not willing to do what He's asked us to do. Sometimes He can't bless. God's not going to bless sin. And so if you're purposely walking in sin, God can't bless that. And sometimes that might be the holdup in your life. Check this one out too, also in 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husbands, you know that your prayers can be hindered if you're not treating your wife right? Ooh. That's tough, isn't it? He said, treat them with respect. Honor your wife. They're co-heirs of the gift of life. And that can hinder your prayer if you're not treating your wife right. Man, that's tough stuff. But listen, you're wondering why God's not answering some of your prayers. Maybe you need to go check your heart. Go see what's going on the backside, okay? Go check your heart and see what else is happening in your life. There might be a holdup in there that you need to get taken care of in order for you to receive from God. Now, here's one thing I'm not saying. You don't have to be a super spiritual Christian to receive from God. You don't have to be a super Christian. You don't have to have it all together to receive from God. That's not what I'm trying to say here. What I'm saying is that I've seen people that they get saved and they're living, you know, they're still working on their lifestyle and God brings blessing in their life and God brings healing in their life and, you know, He takes addiction out of their life and you're thinking, how can God, why are you doing that for them and you're not doing that for me? we got to be careful that we're not trying to compare. Because you are you, they are them. Check your own life, check your own heart, see what's going on. But I think the biggest thing that stops us from receiving from God is this right here. Our brain. Logic. See, a lot of the things that we read about what Jesus did in the Gospels is not logical. We're going to read about one next week. I'm excited about next week. We're going to talk about Peter walking on the water. Man, that's not logical. I've tried, man. I've stepped off many boats. I have not walked on water yet. That's not logical. Sometimes our brain gets in the way from receiving from God. Sometimes we overprocess things. Man, I'm an analyzer. I think about things. I process things. Ask my wife. I have to stop and process sometimes before I can give an answer. And she's like, are you even listening to me? Like, hang on a second. I'm thinking about it. I'm an inside processor, okay? And so, but sometimes that gets in the way. It's like, God, there's no way that this can happen. I see no way that my son is ever going to get out of drugs. I see no way that my marriage can be restored. I mean, it's gone too far. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18. This is the kind of faith that we need. He said, at this time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I love questions like this from the disciples. It sounds like a question I'd ask. You know, who's the greatest? You know, we always want to be the greatest, right? We want to be the best. We want to be the GOAT, you know? And so he said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know, and they're probably hoping, they're saying, you disciples, you guys are the greatest. You guys are going to do great things for me. It's Moses or Abraham, and they're wanting to hear some super spiritual answer. Verse 2, he said, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them and says, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. See, here's the thing. Children don't overthink things. Lots of times we wonder if they think at all, but you know, they don't overthink things. When you tell a child something, as long as they, you know, there hasn't been some kind of issue in their life where they've been lied to or betrayed or somehow, if you tell a child something, they're going to believe it. I have to be very careful when I tell Owen something, because he will remember that and he will quote me on it later on, that I said this. He gets that from Miranda. She can remember stuff like that too. But anyway, but when a child hears something, they believe it. And he said, if you have to become like this little child, this is the greatest in heaven. See, it's that childlike faith that we have, that when we hear God say something, we need to believe it. We can process, we can analyze, we can use logic and disprove what God has said to us. But let me tell you something, God's word is truth. Anything against that is not right. Okay? This is the childlike faith that we're talking about, that we need to have that childlike faith where we read it in God's word, then we need to be like, okay, I guess that's right. This is what I need to believe. And it's that childlike faith. See, when I get sick, I like to go to my kids for them to pray for me, because I've taught them how to pray the prayer of faith for healing. And I have my kids pray over me because they have that childlike faith, like, okay, Dad, so Jesus died on the cross so that you could have salvation. I mean, they don't say this. But here's what I believe. The same act that brought us salvation on the cross is the same act that brings healing to us as well. The Bible says that with the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Some people say, well, that's a spiritual healing. Yes, it is a spiritual healing. But I believe that Jesus not only died for us to have salvation, but he died for us to have healing in our spirit, soul, and body. He died for the whole man. And I believe that he can bring healing to your soul, to your emotions. There's some of us that have wrecked emotions, and we've just had people lying to us all of our lives. And I believe that God can heal those things. He can heal that soul. He can heal those thinking processes. He can heal those things in your life. I believe that he can heal your body as well, that he died on the cross. He suffered in his body so that we don't have to suffer in our bodies. I believe that. And we need to have that childlike faith that stands in faith on that thing. If God says it, I believe it. That settles it. That needs to be where we get to. That childlike faith. God, you said in your word. Speak God's word over your life. Speak God's word over your situation. Stand in faith for those things. See, I wish that just like this woman here, she got healed instantly. I wish God did that every single time. That would be amazing. But lots of times it doesn't work out that way. But we got to keep standing, keep believing, keep going, keep trusting. See God work in your life. But you know what? The whole time that you're believing, you're going to have an enemy throwing those thoughts. Well, you're just wasting your time. God's not going to heal you. God doesn't do that. And he's going to be throwing that doubt in there. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Sometimes you'll trust all the way to death. But you know what? You trusted all the way to the end. That's that childlike faith. It's trusting no matter what. And that's what God wants from us. That's the kind of faith that will move the mountains in your life. If you begin to say, nothing's going to change. You got to trust God. Trust in His Word. Trust that He said it. It's true. I believe it, and I'm going to stand on this until something happens or I die. That needs to be the faith that we have. So today, as we wrap up, see, this woman's encounter with Jesus changed her life drastically. She went from suffering for 12 years to instantly having freedom, having new life. She got back that life that she lost 12 years ago. And I believe that God can do that for you too. So we're going to wrap up with the song here. We're going to worship. We're going to have our prayer team come on up here and get ready. Maybe there's something that you're standing in faith about. Man, renew that faith today. Reach out to Him today. Say, God, I'm trusting in You. God, I'm trusting in You. I'm trusting in Your Word, that You're faithful to Your Word. Renew that faith today. If you need prayer today, we have these up here that's ready to pray with you, to believe in faith with you. Let them encourage you. Let them pray with you today. But guys, let us get back to that childlike faith. Say, God, You said this, and I believe it. And that's where I'm going to stay, right there. Let's stand and let's get ready to worship today.